Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Hey, we're in week two of the authority of the believer. We're talking about the authority that belongs to every Christian as a child of God. What belongs to you in Christ? The authority that God put in resident in you as a child of God. We're going to talk. We've talked about, by the way, how many of y'all enjoyed impartation? Man, was that awesome? What time is it? It's now. See, he's the God of the now. And this is part of it. I'll tell you, it dovetails right into the first week that we taught on this message. If you were not here, if you'll go back a couple Sundays on our website. You can hear the first message of this, and I really would encourage you to get the ground teaching of this. But this week, we want to go into another level of understanding your authority as a believer. Now, this is really important that you understand this, that God's intent from the beginning, and for every one of us, was that we would walk in authority and dominion in our lives. God literally put it in the DNA of man to want to have dominion and authority. God put it in you. It's a part of who you are. It's unnatural for a human being to live under, to live dominated. God put it in you. It's why mankind is constantly discovering and learning and growing. And it's why in the early 1960s when President Kennedy said, we're gonna put a man on the moon, and they had no idea how to get there. And a decade later, we walked on the moon. I mean, when you look at that, sometimes I look at the moon and I think, mankind has walked on it. It's in us to discover. We're developing telescopes that can see so far, and then we send telescopes out into space. It's in man to have dominion. It's one of the reasons I believe that that depression in people is even at epidemic proportions, because you were not made to live under in life. You were not made by God to always have the circumstances of life just beat you down. Now, it didn't say that problems won't come. The storms of life come to everybody. But you have to learn how to exercise the authority and the dominion that belongs to you in Christ. God put it in you. And He did it from the beginning. Listen to what Psalms chapter 8, verse 6 says about mankind and what God says about us. You have made Him, that is mankind, you have made Him to have dominion over all the works of your hands. You have put all things under His feet. Everybody say all things. Now remember this. God has given you dominion in life and authority, but He's never told you to exercise that dominion over people. When people are dominated by another person, it's probably one of the most devaluing things you can do to another human being. Find in marriages, husbands and wives do it both. Most marriages have, in their dysfunction, will have a dominant person, not a dominant personality. You can't help that. But where they'll dominate the other person. They'll minimize the other person. And you've never been called to have authority over people. Now, there are things you're called to have authority over as a believer, but it's not over other people. Even as a parent, you have authority over your children's lives, but it's not to dominate them. It's to prepare them to go into life, to be more than conquerors through Him that loved them. And yet, this wonderful subject, most Christians have taken life and put it in God's lap and said, well, whatever the Lord wants, something will come. Well, the Lord's will be done. And just kind of throw it in God's lap. Well, we've put it in the Lord's hands. Well, there's a truth to that. But then right on the other side, people have taken that kind of activity. People have made those kind of statements, and they've sat with weapons in their at their disposal that they're not using. You know, if you're going to go into battle, use your weapons. And you know, this life, this is a battleground, not a playground. And so many precious people don't understand that the Bible says that Satan, there's nothing he can tempt you with. Nothing he can tempt you with except those temptations are common to man. And yet the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. Any temptation, any circumstance you ever face in life is a temptation that is common to all mankind. Satan can't go into the archives of eternity past and pull something out that's not common to us. Any temptation you will ever experience in this life is common to man. So your temptations are common to man, but your weapons are common to God. When you understand that you're sitting with an arsenal of authority, and so many dear believers have never learned how to use it. Forget use it, they don't even know they have it. Now the first week we spent some time talking about having authority and not knowing you have it is the same as not having it at all. But even if you have knowledge of your authority and you don't act upon it, it will never bring results. You've got to act upon it. You were made to have dominion in life. It's in your DNA. God said, I made you to have dominion over all the works of my hands. That's why so many people, they live their whole life and all they really ever do is go from problem to problem to problem to problem. So I feel so bad. You should feel bad. If that makes you feel good, you have mental problems. Really. But there is a way that you can walk victoriously in Christ, and it's not going to happen overnight. I would tell you this, most people overestimate what can happen in 1 year in their life, and we drastically underestimate what God can do in 3 to 5 years in our life. The process of what it means to discover who you are and operate expecting God in the now. You start doing that, I'm telling you, 3 to 5 years in your life, you won't even recognize the person that you've become. Because you will have begun to walk in the grace that's available to you as a child of God. You'll be able to walk out the purpose and the plan of God in spite of and in the middle of all the many, many circumstances that we all face. And we all face them. Well, none of us are exempted from them. But you know, you've got to pursue things in life. You've got to go after them. There's a God side to this equation. And there's a man side to this equation. And it's really important that you and I understand that God's side I can't do. Now listen, and the man side he won't do. Anybody here married? Somebody had to do some pursuing. Or you didn't get married. Y'all just didn't wake up one morning and go, who are you? You know, Ed Elliott mentioned this past weekend about when we were kids, we used to pass notes. Now they text, but I remember in high school or in little grade school, a girl would pass you a note, will you like me? And I'd say, yes. And she'd break up with me 30 minutes later. I never even talked to her. I don't like you anymore. I thought, what'd I do? I didn't even talk to you since you like me. I just want you ladies to know, you taught us men early how to deal with deep felt rejection. And you know, people say, well, it's only puppy love when you're a teenager or whatever. Well, if your heart's broken, your heart's broken. I remember as a teenage kid, there were girls I just liked so much, and they never would like me back. It hurt. It hurt bad. And then by and by came a time when there was a sweet southern girl named Michelle that liked me back. Thank you, Jesus. And 25 years, marriage, and 3 kids later, man, it is an adventure to live life together after God. And but I had to pursue her. I had to let her know I liked her. If you're going to walk in these things, you've got to act upon them. You'll find nobody ever gets married accidentally. You don't even date accidentally. You ladies, I understand ladies can pursue men, and you guys can do it a little bit more subtly. All you've really got to do is show up and breathe. Ladies, we're not complicated. I just want you to know. Ladies are like, what is it that really will affect a man's heart? Show up and breathe. Listen, men and women are very different. That's why I really want you to come to the marriage conference. Michelle and I will be there laughing your way to a better marriage. Men, listen, we are real simple. If you're going to put it in terms of switches, we are like one switch. Click, we're that simple. Women are like a 747's just control panel. And you walk in there and you just go, oh, I don't know where to start. But ladies, just because y'all are complex, don't think. See, God made man in His own image. And the Bible said that if you read the Hebrew of how He made man, that is man, not mankind, but man, it was more of a roughness. But when He made woman, He made her skillfully. That's why y'all are more complicated. God put some more thought behind you. He made man and said, I can do better than this. You've got to pursue these things. You've got to know they belong to you, and you've got to go after them with all your heart. I mean, you really do, because they belong to you. It's your privilege. And not only your privilege, it is your great opportunity and responsibility as a believer. God gave man dominion over the earth, but man lost that dominion. Let's look in Scripture when God literally gave it. In the book of Genesis 1:26, and God said, "Let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the bird of the air, the cattle of the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God said, "I made man to have dominion." It's why man is the crown of God's creation. It's why in our culture, when people elevate animal rights to human rights, it's how do you say utter stupidity kindly? I'll just leave with utter stupidity. Well, you know, the chicken that you eat, shut up and eat the chicken. You say, "Well, I don't like chicken." Don't eat the chicken, but don't bother me if I eat the chicken. All right? You say, "Well, what about the cow's feelings?" I don't care. We were made, now, not be cruel to an animal, but animals were put here for man. You know, God made the earth. Do you realize that's controversial today? Well, who do you think you are? I'm the top of the food chain. Said, you love animals? Cooked properly? Yes. They're awesome. You say, well, that's offensive. The Bible also tells you don't be cruel to an animal. I'm not talking about animal cruelty, but I am telling you this. Jesus used a tree as an example, and he killed it. For just an example in a sermon. The dude killed a tree. Yes! My favorite things Jesus did, cursed a fig tree. Today they'd have written an article about how a preacher ruined a tree for a message. Bless their heart. Man was given authority and dominion in the earth, but he lost that authority. Man's enemy and God's enemy, Satan, tempted him. And if you know the story, and God told them, do not eat of that tree. When you do, in the day you do it, when you eat of it, you will die. Literally, in the Hebrew, in dying, you will die. In other words, sin would enter their heart. They would be separated from God. Spiritual death, which is separation from God, lodged in the heart of man. And when spiritual death lodged in man, his body began to die. And that death passed upon all men. And Adam was given this authority. And Adam gave that authority over to Satan, God's enemy and your enemy. Listen to what Jesus said about it. How many of you remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness? He fasted 40 days, 40 nights, and was tempted by Satan. Three separate temptations. You're going to find that as Adam was tempted, you'll see Jesus was tempted. Do you know that Jesus in Scripture is called the last Adam? He was born like the first Adam, that is, made miraculously. He was made without sin. And whereas the first Adam fell by treason, the last Adam would win the victory that the first Adam lost. As when Satan came to the first Adam, he committed treason against God and fell. When he came to the last Adam, Jesus, when he was being tempted in the wilderness, he tempted him on three separate occasions. And every one of those temptations was designed to get Jesus to question two things: the validity of what God has said and his identity. It started with, are you really the Son of God? See, if Satan can get you through deception to question who you are in Christ, you lose the battle before you start. Listen to this temptation. I want you to see, I want you to read behind this. I want you to see what literally happened when Adam fell. Look here in Luke 4, verse 5. This is one of the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness. The devil led him, Jesus, up to a high place, show him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me. And I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered and said, "It is written, worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." What is he saying? He said to Jesus, "I know you've come back to get this authority." Now, how did he know that? When Adam and Eve fell, ultimately, we won't, for the sake of time, I'll take you to when God spoke literally to Satan. And he said, "The day will come when the offspring of the woman will literally crush your head. You will bruise his heel, but he will crush your head." The head referring to authority. Headship always refers to authority. And right when man fell, God spoke prophetically to Satan and said, the day will come when the offspring of a woman will take this back from you. And so Satan immediately began to try to kill righteous men, thinking this would be the one. This would be the one. When Adam fell, he delivered that authority over to Satan. And that's why Satan could say to Jesus, I know you've come to get the authority back in the kingdoms of this world for man. It's mine. It was given to me. Now, who gave it to him? Adam did. He had a right to it because God gave it to Adam, and Adam forfeited it to Satan. And the Bible literally calls Satan in the scripture, in the New Testament even, the God, small g, of this world. Where did he get that authority? It was given to him by Adam. And Jesus said, the scripture foretold of a Savior coming who would take it back. Whereas Adam lost the authority through treason, Jesus would get it back through conquest. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. Colossians 2:15. And having disarmed, this is speaking of Jesus, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by his cross or by the cross. See, when Jesus hung on that cross through his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and is seating at the right hand of the majesty on high, he took the authority back. He made a show of Satan openly. He triumphed over him through his death, burial, and resurrection. But do you know the scripture said, had Satan known God's plan, he never would have inspired men to crucify the Lord of glory? See, his MO, his modus operandi, once God told him the seed of the woman would take the authority back, Satan immediately sought to kill righteous people. And you can look out through the history of scripture, and even from the beginning, Cain and Abel, one brother killing the other, one's sacrifice was accepted before God, one was rejected, and the one that appeared to be righteous before God, Satan inspired the brother to kill him. Because Satan's saying, well, it must be this one. And throughout scripture, prophets and ministries and righteous men were slaughtered over and over and over again, inspired of hell. When Moses was born, you remember, because a Redeemer was in the earth, somehow there was some spiritual signal that all of hell and all of darkness knew. What was Pharaoh inspired to do? Kill every child under 2 years old. Every Jewish boy, 2 years old and under, slaughtered. He said, well, I'll get all of them. And then after that, you remember when Jesus was born. What did Herod do? Did the exact same thing. Killed every Jewish boy under a certain age. Because a Redeemer's in the earth. And you need to understand, that's what Satan's modus operandi. That's how he operated. And he didn't know that when Jesus hung on that cross, an innocent man, a man who had never tasted sin, was punished with a sinner's death. And he bore the debt that you and I could never pay. And when that happened, something occurred in three worlds. In heaven, and in earth, and in hell. Three worlds were affected by that act. And when you and I must have an understanding of when Jesus rose from the dead and was seated at the right hand of the majesty on high, when he offered up his own blood in the very heavenly of heavenlies as an offering for my sin and your sin, he gave something back to you and he gave something back to me. Listen to what the book of Revelation says, chapter 1, verse 18. Jesus, speaking of himself, said, I am he who lives, and I was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of hell or Hades, and I have the keys of death. What do you mean you have the keys? What's that mean? Keys are symbolic of ownership. He said, through my death, burial, and resurrection, I have the authority of death. When death reigned over man, I reigned over death. And when I rose from the dead, I took those keys. That's why, the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, one of the most wonderful chapters in the Bible, when it's talking of the resurrection of Jesus, when God speaks into the very portals of death, and he says to his son, who is bearing my sin and your sin, at that resurrection day, he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Your scepter is a scepter of righteousness. And he spoke into the very portals and into the very depths of death. And he raised him from the dead. And literally, when he did, you could see Jesus taking the keys, taking the authority that Adam gave Satan. So that's wonderful. Jesus is a victor. But he didn't do it for himself. He didn't need delivered. I needed delivered. And when you listen to people talk about satanic issues or the weapons of because the Bible does tell us, don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. People give him too much credit. They think here's God all powerful, and then Satan is like a co-equal in the evil. He's not. He is nothing but a fallen angel. And the only authority he has is that which was given to him by Adam. The only authority he has is to deceive you and to deceive me, to not believe who God said we are. The same thing he said to Adam is the same thing he says to you. The same thing he tempted Jesus with is the same thing he says to you. He said to Adam, has God really said this? Did God really say that about you? And the minute Adam doubted what God said about him, he became susceptible to deception. What did he say to Jesus? Are you really the Son of God? And let me tell you something. The same deception is going to pound upon your life as well as mine. You're a what? You're a child of God? You're born of God? You're an overcomer? Take a look in the mirror, sweetheart. Not the last time I looked at you, you weren't. Who do you think you are? Guys, this authority belongs to us. Jesus gave it to us. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Remember, he said, I put all things under the feet of man. And this is now referring to what Jesus did in his conquest. And God has put all things under his feet, meaning Jesus, and gave Jesus, him, to be the head over all things to the church, or the authority, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Now, let me ask you a question. Well, let me do it this way. Steve Moore, you have any cash on you? You're a slacker. Matt Gates, you have any cash on you? I'll tell you, these guys are either cheap or broke. Chris, can I have some cash? I mean, these guys, they figure I'm going to ask for it, and they don't want to have any on them. You know, let me see what I got here. I want it all. Let me see what I got here. I got 20, 40, 60, 80, 100. Dude, that was awesome. Thank you. Now, Chris just gave me $100. Pastor Chris, thank you. Now, let me ask you a question. Did my head and my body get the same 100? It's not a trick question. Did all of me get the 100 or just the head? All of me. The head and the body are not disconnected. If they're disconnected, it is a bad day for you. Right? Now, here you go, Chris. If this was Steve Moore's money, I'd keep it. But here you go. Thank you very much for the illustration. It was helpful, but I sure wish Steve had some money, or Matt, because I'd have kept their money. Because I like you. But we've missed it. He said he put all things under his feet. Now, let me ask you a question. Are the feet connected to the head or to the body? Not a trick question. Okay, if somebody walked into church today and you saw a head and 2 feet, how many of you would think, bad day? God said, when he raised up Jesus, he put all things under his feet, and he is the head over the body, and you are the body of Christ, members in particular. So when he said all things are under his feet, if you're in the body, whose feet are they under? So is that authority restored back to you? Do you know what to do with it? Do you know how to act in concert with it? Look at Ephesians chapter 2, the next verse. Next chapter, verse 6 and 7, says, and he raised us up together with Christ and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace wrapped up in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. When Jesus was raised up, God said, I saw you in the body raised up with him. When he was seated at the right hand of the majesty on high, which is the ultimate position of power and authority in the universe, he said, when he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high, you were seated together with him. It's why most Christians live so far beneath their privileges. It's why so many Christians never fulfill the purpose that the head of the church meant for them to live in life. It's why people live so mediocre lives. Oh, mediocrity should never be attached to the life of a Christian. There's no such thing as mediocrity in God. You will find no mediocrity in heaven. When you get to heaven, you're not going to go into a room or into something and say, ah. Everything in heaven will make you do this. Oh. The very ground, the roads, the streets, the scripture said, are made of a transparent gold. Didn't say it's paved with it. It's made with it. It means all the way through. It isn't dirt with gold on top. It's pure, stinking gold. So why would God do that? Because He's God. The walls are made of jewels. See, people say, well, I don't know why women like all this stuff. Because you realize God made man in His image. That in God is both the capacity of male and female. In God's person, you'll find the full representation of mankind, man and woman, made in His likeness and image, mankind being male and female. And it's that part of God that likes all that stuff that showed up in the women, thank you, Jesus. I mean, y'all like a little rock or a big rock called a diamond. I'd skip it on a river. I didn't get, well, that's a rock. Who cares about that stuff? But it's pretty. God made, I mean, He is God. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. And God said, I raised you up and I seated you together with Him. And I put all things under His feet and I put all things under your feet. That's why you've got to start to act on these things now in your life. Tonight is 401. That's our, you know, our growth track. 101, 201, 301, 401. Fourth Sunday of the month, 401. It's where you find that thing that God made you to do with your life in a service of God that's greater than your life, that's bigger than your life, that's not about you. And you give yourself to it. Show up at 401. Stop praying about it or thinking about it. Well, you know, one of these days I'll get around to it. Don't get around to life. It goes away too fast. Live it now on purpose. Well, let me get a few things straight in my life. Can we talk? Or can you listen? How's that? Come here. You're never going to fix your own life without the grace of God. Don't stop waiting to, well, I'll get this in order and that in order. No, no, no. You come to God just like you are. Your mess, you bring your mess. God cleans fish that He catches. Don't worry about the mess. So I got to get some stuff right in my life. Join the club. You say, you have stuff in your life? I'm a human being. Human beings have issues. Everybody has them. So I don't have them. Then that's your issue. You live in the land of denial. You, just to help you, for those of you who live in that land, you're in a church building now. This is so important to know that you've been seated together with Christ in heavenly places. Go to 401 if you haven't been there yet. Find out and discover what's available here for you to do in the kingdom and get busy. So what if I don't like what I do? Can I get out of it? Listen, this isn't the mafia. You can get out. Go do something else. So I don't know if I even want to, what if I want to go to another church? Then go. There's many wonderful churches, but get somewhere. Get connected somewhere. Find out your place in the body. Get in a small group. They're launching here in September. Get in a small group. Don't pray about it. Don't think about it. Don't, you know, so I need to feel something. Smack yourself, feel, and do it. Just think, go do it. Guys, you've got to act on who God made you to be. These things are not just peripheral. These are part and parcel with discovering your identity in Christ. Living on purpose. Living for something bigger than your life. I can't tell you how many precious pastors, how many precious church leaders are waiting for God to do something in their church. And I don't mean once or twice. I'm telling you, in the last 20 years, hundreds of conversations with ministers. And this is a completely common conversation. I've had over and 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 over again. Pastor John, you know, we have a Sunday morning service and we're really full. What do you think we should do? Okay. Go to two services. Okay, we'll pray about it. No. Don't be stupid. Don't pray about stuff that makes sense. Okay, anybody married? Okay, how many of you would pray this prayer? Lord, I've been really good to my wife or my husband for the last 5 years. This next year, I'm praying about whether I should treat them lousy. How many of you know that's not a prayer you should waste your time on? Right? Correct? I'd say, well, go to two services and utilize your building. Well, okay, well, we're going to pray about it. No, don't pray about it. Go get people. Do everything you know to do to go get people. Use everything at your disposal. And they'll say, we've been multiple services around a room. What are you doing? I said, well, I'd ask them, well, what are you doing about it? I said, we're praying. I said, stop praying and go do something. You don't have to ask God what to do. Well, we need a building. What do? Build a stinking building. So, oh, but it costs money. Well, poor old God, what is he, broke? Walmart builds a building. Target builds a building. Bath and Beyond has a place. And God can't have, we have a stinking store for creams you put on you. That's a brutal store for a man to go into, by the way. And they're wondering what do we do? Should you go build you a building? You've got to act like the head of the church was serious about reaching people. So now we got this big old building. What are we going to do? We're going into a whole nother gear. We're going to go get people and reach them for Jesus and lift people and see marriages put back together and bodies healed and lives changed, not by the tens or the hundreds, but by the thousands. And we are going to run after God as fast and as hard as we can go. So what if he doesn't show up? He did show up. He hung and bled on a cross. And he showed you how much he loved people. And pastor after pastor after pastor, they're having prayer meetings. What must this sound like to God when the leaders in his church are praying about whether they should go get the people that he died for? And talking about money to God. Well, Lord, it costs money. It costs blood. The blood spilled from a Savior's veins. You talk about a cost. And I'm going to dishonor that blood by thinking about something as ridiculously temporary as money when it comes to reaching people? Oh, no, no, no. Now, we're wise with money here, but let me tell you something. We are going to go after people with all of our heart. Let me give you a little instance of what I mean about exercising authority. And next weekend, I'm really going to go into great depth into how to exercise this in real time, in real life, so you can do this on a Sunday afternoon, a Monday morning. This is everyday life stuff, not some religious theory. This is how you live every day. When this building when all this property was being developed, the property where the red light is, where CarSense is today, that property needed to go on the market to sell. And that's when I had one of the township officials pull me aside, and they were very polite, and I mean this sincerely. I was grateful for their concern. And he pulled me aside, and he said, "Now, John, you're Reverend," is what he called me. How'd you like to be called Reverend? That is an odd thing to call a human being. Reverend? I said, just call me John. Just makes me just twitch a little. Just call me John, okay? Well, John, look, I know y'all are needing to sell property to finish your project. And you need to understand, we know that where the township's moving. We know where things are being purchased and where they're not. That's 10 years away from selling. You need to know that. I said, well, I appreciate that. I said, but let me tell you something. I have inside information. He said, you do? I said, oh, yeah. I said, it's going to sell really, really fast. I said, there are people interested in it. Don't worry about it. He said, well, you know, we have to be aware of this for plannings. Can you give me some insight into what's happening? I said, I'm not at liberty right now to talk to you about it. Why would I tell him something like that when he told me the truth? And the facts were that was 10 years away. Because I know that if I don't act in concert and say, as the person with authority in the earth, what God says about it, listen, the authority has been put into the body. And the body has to exercise that authority. God needs you to exercise the authority because you're the only one on the earth with a body. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. You are the body of Christ. And so I just simply said to him, said, don't worry about it. It's going to sell quickly and don't even think about it. And then our broker that was going to list it he said, hey, the email blast is going to go out and we're going to send out the other stuff, the hard copy of everything soon. And he said, now remember, we're going to list it at $2.4 million. That's what it's appraised at. He said, you know, we should shoot to get about $2.1 to $2.3 million. I said, no. First he told me that. I went back into prayer about it. I called him back. I said, list it for $3.5 million. And he's very polite. He said, well, John, you know, you're not a real estate person. If you list things too high, you actually can diminish. I said, oh, I understand all that. I'm just telling you that I don't know real estate, but I know what I heard in my heart. Listed at $3.5 million. He said, sure, I just numbers. Put it out there. And in 2 months, we had $3.35 million in the bank. In the bank. Now, can I tell you this? Was that God's hand? Did God do something amazing? Absolutely. But let me tell you this. If a person doesn't exercise authority, then that authority doesn't get exercised. And God, listen to me now, will not do it for you. There are churches all over America where pastors and wonderful people, wonderful church leaders, wonderful people are sitting back waiting for God to come and do something. And he said, I've given you the authority. You go in my name. And listen to this. He said, and in my name, there am I. And you have the authority to use that name. And we're going to go into greater detail about it next week. Man, this is so important. You're seated together with Christ. You've been raised to heavenly places in Him. You've been raised together and seated with Him. Look at here in Matthew 28. We're winding it down. Verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, about most of the authority that's been given has been given to me in heaven and in earth. About 50% of it. Just, you know, the stuff that I can weasel out of the devil's hands. Now, how much of the authority has been given to Jesus? Now, if it belongs to the head, it belongs to the... Are you in the body? Then say it out loud. That authority belongs to me. Now, here's the question. Number one, did you know it belonged to you? Number two, do you know how to exercise it? Do you know that you exercise it? We're going to talk to you about it. How you talk. Do you know that authority is exercised through words? He says that name it and claim it stuff. Listen, are you those blab it and grab it people? Listen, I realize people go crazy on stuff and make a mess out of spiritual doctrines. But don't you ever let a counterfeit keep you away from the genuine. We'll talk to you in great, because I want you to understand you don't have to be defined any longer in your life by the worst thing that's ever happened to you, or the worst thing you've ever done, or the worst thing that's ever been done to you. You don't have to be defined by your problems every day of the world. You don't have to be defined by the struggling marriage that you're in, that was gifted to you by the dysfunctional home that raised you. By mom and dad, as good as they were, didn't have a clue how to be married, and they taught you how to mess up your life. You only can give what you have. That's not a criticism. We only can give what we have. There's wonderful things we've given our kids, and there's some stuff. I look at my kids and I go, oh, that's from me. How many ever see stuff in your kids and you just want to go, oh, how do you discipline your child when it's your own stupidity? Anybody ever do that with your kids? You're like, oh, man. Do you understand? You were not made in life to live beneath. You were called, the Bible said, to be the head and not the tail. Above, listen, only and not beneath. Do you know that's the call of God on your life? Do you know that when you walk with God and exercise your authority as a believer, that you can come out of anything? That you can become the person God intended you to be, and it doesn't matter who did what to you? I'm not saying it doesn't matter that you were injured or hurt. That's tragic. But you don't have to live the rest of your life letting somebody's stupidity define the rest of your life, including your own. Look at the worst stupid in my life and your life is the stupid we did to ourselves. Anybody ever did their own stupid? Okay, the rest of you liars, we'll pray for you. The truth of it is, God's merciful. He came and He rescued broken people. And when He put you in the body, He gave you authority. That's why 1 John 4:4 says this, dear children, you are from God. Say it out loud, I'm from God. Now look at the next two words. And have overcome. Have overcome them. Have overcome them. That's past tense. Say it out loud. I'm of God and I am an overcomer. And when the Bible said you've overcome them, He's referring to Satan's kingdom and all of his weapons and all of his devices. Now, because. Not because you're so smart. not because you're so strong, but because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You're an overcomer. Next week, I'm going to talk to you about how to exercise these weapons in everyday life. Your best days are in front of you. Listen to me. In the name of Jesus, your best days are in front of you. You're not a has-been. And you're not just going to be. You are a child of the living God. You are the head and not the tail. You are above only and not beneath. All the blessings of heaven belong to you. You are accepted in the Beloved. You are completed in Christ. You are a person that dwells in a secret place. You have a God who is your cleft in the rock, a strong tower, a mighty defense for you. He loves you. He's for you. He's taken your sin as far as the east is from the west and removed it from you. He's called you His very own, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, standing complete in Him. Old things passed away. All things become new. That's who you are. And don't you let anybody talk you out of it. Don't you let any circumstance talk you out of it. You can live this overcoming life because Jesus died to provide it for every person on planet Earth. Amen. Let's pray together. It's an awesome thing, isn't it? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your wonderful grace, Your wonderful mercy, Your wonderful kindness. It's upon every heart and upon every life. I ask You to speak to hearts today, no matter how they may have come into this building, no matter what's going on in their life, that they would know that there is a Savior that loves them. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as the Lord of your life. If today you were to draw your final breath and slip into an eternity, do you know where you would spend it? Jesus said there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And He died on the altar of that cross so that people like you and people like me can have eternal life. So if you're here this morning and you're not certain you've ever given your life to the One who gave His life for you, you're not certain that you've ever given your life to Christ, I want to give you the opportunity to receive a Savior into your life today. So I'm not a real religious person. Good. Neither am I. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. This isn't about a religious game you play for an hour and a half on a weekend. This is about living for God in everyday life. If you want to walk with the Savior, if you want to have your sin washed away, with every head bowed, every eye closed, you say, Pastor, I would ask that you would include me in that prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I will pray for you right where you're seated. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'll pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church will pray the prayer out loud and together with you. With every head bowed, every eye closed. You say, Pastor John, please include me in that prayer. Right where you're seated right now, would you lift your hand high so I can see it? And I'll pray for you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. You can put your hands back down. Thank you. With heads bowed, eyes closed, one last time, I don't want to miss you. If you've not yet raised your hand, just lift it right now and we'll pray for you as well. If you've not yet done so, sir, thank you so much. Best decision of your life. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. If you raised your hand or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to You in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite You in. I receive You now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank You for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am heaven bound. And I confess boldly that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Give Him a hand, would you? Awesome.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.